With the 23rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, LSU.
Rush throws downfield, looking for Thomas again. He's got it, and LSU strikes back quickly.
This dude's no slouch now. He put up huge numbers, and most of it deep down the field, a true vertical weapon.
Daniels fires downfield, and coming back to make the catch is Thomas. Makes a man miss, and will score. A second lightning strike.
He's a guy that brings a skill set that we haven't necessarily had.
I believe Brian Thomas Jr. is very underrated. I think Brian Thomas Jr., if developed correctly, could turn out to be one of the receivers, one of the best receivers from this year's draft.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Happy Thursday. We hope with a lot of patience and practice and effort that we turn into one of the best shows on 1010XL from 10 to noon. Sooner rather than later, Tony. That's the goal we've been working for.
That's the plan.
Over the last 15 years. Wow, we haven't been doing this show for 15 years. What about 10? Something like that. I
think something like that.
It's going to be season 10 coming up, maybe?
Maybe season 11.
Maybe season 11 already.
Of doing
Jaguars Today?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Maybe we're the problem, right? I don't know. Look, their lack of Super Bowl hardware predated Jaguars Today. So,
yes, it did.
Let's hope that it coincides with the lifespan of Jaguars Today when they win their first Lombardi Trophy.
No doubt.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Zay Jones getting a lot of attention around the league. I don't know what to make of that sometimes. You know, you get a veteran, like, he goes to a place and you hear, okay, so-and-so's interested in visiting with this guy, and he goes and he doesn't sign. So then he goes somewhere else. He didn't sign there either.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let me go to this other place. They've got a need. He didn't sign there. Nobody has done the we can't let him out of the building thing. Like, Tennessee opted to go the Tyler Boyd route.
He did.
And that's understandable with Callahan, the new head coach, being his former offensive coordinator in Cincinnati, and it seems like they need a slot option anyway. I think that he's a good fit for, you know, to balance things out for them. But now you hear Zay Jones is moving on to the Kansas City Chiefs for his next visit, and who knows with Rashee Rice, Tony, with this now, you know, in addition to the DWI racing hit-and-run combo platter that he put together, is now being accused of an assault in recent days on top of that. So you got to wonder about his availability this year. But, I mean, it could be a case of that Zay just has so many good options out there that he is going to wait and hear what everybody has to say. But there definitely doesn't seem like anybody has stepped up to the plate of, okay, this is the one, we got to have him.
Yeah, it doesn't seem, based on the way this whole situation has played out for Zay, it doesn't sound like anyone's offering him the money that he would have gotten if he had been in Jacksonville.
Oh, I'd be stunned if he gets anything close to $10 million.
Like, that kind of thing has not come to pass for him yet. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think Kansas City makes all kinds of sense for Zay Jones, right? Because of the Rashee Rice and all those other things that are going on. I don't know what the money looks like there compared to whatever they were talking about in Tennessee, compared to whatever they were talking about in Arizona. Like, I don't know how all these different places talk to him about the kind of money that they'd be willing to spend on him. But certainly, of everyone that he's had a chance to talk to, visit with, whatever, your best chance to win at any kind of level is the Kansas City Chiefs. And if that kind of thing is important to him, you know, at this point, and you get decent money, what you would get.
Sure.
Right? Like, he's not going to be a guy that's going to get veteran minimum. You would think he's probably going to sign somewhere for that, you know, $4 or $5 million
bucks.
Yeah, something like that. And if I was going to do that for $4 or $5 million bucks, Kansas City, if they're willing to offer me $3.5 million, I'd be like, interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely. If winning is your top priority. And now, look, it's easy for us to say, well, $3 million bucks, you can live on $3 million bucks. Sure you can, right? But, you know, $4 million's better, right? And $5 million's better than that. So, like, the Dallas Cowboys offered him $1.5 million more. And we don't even know if he's had an offer from
of
these teams, right, at all. So just kind of playing the game of speculating how it might roll out, that I could see, like, you could make the case, like, all right, Dallas, you know, I think Kansas City dominates the AFC. I'm going to go over to the NFC, and Dallas has been close. They need something to push them over the hump, whatever the case may be. Let me ask you this. What's the best part of the route tree for Zay Jones? Like, where does he excel in your opinion? So I'm trying to think about the fit in Kansas City. You know, and Rice is like the intermediate guy, right? The short to intermediate guy where you've got Marquise Brown and now Xavier Worthy who are going to be the downfield field stretchers. And Zay has a fast time speed, but I don't know if he's ever really that on a consistent basis here, you know. But I do feel like that's part of his game. I don't know if he's like that down in, down out, grind it out, big catch on third down guy. I don't know. I don't know if he has.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got that with Kelce. But, you know, it's I'd say the thing that stands out to me about Zay during the couple of years that we got to see him here was his route running, I thought, was fantastic, right? And I think you can find ways to use that. Last year is tough to figure out exactly what any of that was supposed to be. You know, with the injuries that he was dealing with throughout the season and the expectations that we all had after watching him going through last offseason and thinking, this guy, I get it. Everyone's hyped up about Calvin Ridley, but this guy, right? Like, that's the way that it felt last offseason, watching Zay Jones go through training camp and these things. The injuries got in the way of those kind of things happening. So I do. The thing that stands out for me about Zay is his route running ability. And, you know, I can remember the two-point conversion that he had against Baltimore.
Sure.
Right? I can remember, who was it against where he made the defender fall down? Was it Dallas?
I think it was.
Yeah. Where, like, it was just that little half-fake step, and then he's over the top of him. Right? Like, I remember those kind of moments from Zay Jones, and that's less about what routes he runs best. Necessarily, I think that he is proficient doing whatever you would ask him to do, and he's certainly fast enough.
Competent professional receiver.
Right.
Right. And look, I heard the guys talking about this morning. I would agree, Zay Jones would still be on my Jaguar roster. And maybe
right
with an
you,
eye
yeah.
towards, hey, you know, young guys, there's an opportunity here because I really don't want to pay my fourth receiver $10 million. But at the same time, I want to make it through the intervening months before we get to September healthy. And again, what if something happens to Gabe Davis? We don't know what's going to happen over the course of the summer. You got this guy under contract. He obviously has interest for, you know, this the fourth team he's scheduled to meet with here. Mm-hmm. And it's just a question of how much money he's going to get. So, yeah, $10 million would have been an overpay, but maybe not in a circumstance if you have a guy go down, right? And look, I get it. You're being nice to Zay Jones. And this is, look, he's getting a chance to look at all these places now, Tony, before they really set things and install their offense with these new guys and all this stuff. This happens in September. If he's a cut in September, he's lucky to get on a roster at least early in the season. That's just the way it goes because the market is flooded. So with him in mind, in part, we put together today's question of the day. Some people think it's, why haven't you said hello to Dylan this morning? Well, hello, Dylan.
Good morning, Michael.
There's no particular reason. Just wanted to save the best for last. What's going on with you?
Chilling, man. It's Thursday. I got a big day today, actually.
What do you got?
I got to drive the 1010 Mobile, the big old van.
What?
I got an engineer at XL Primetime today.
What?
So
where are they going to be?
They're going to be at Lifetime Enclosures.
Lifetime Enclosures, which is where?
Phillips Highway.
Okay. And so if folks want to meet you in person?
Yeah, with Leon, Matt Hayes, and Joe C.
Now, I don't try to get into your personal life too much.
Okay.
Right? But like, if any single ladies wanted to stop by today, I mean, you're not. You're still,
I'm not opposed to it.
You're still on the market.
Yeah.
Okay. Just saying.
2 to 4 Eastern time.
Between 2 to 4 Eastern time. Dylan's good-looking guy, right? He's athletic. He's in good shape. He's very intelligent. I mean,
I wear the same 7 shirts a week.
He wears a look at that age, man. I might have gone with 4, honestly. So you're doing okay for yourself. You've got a wardrobe for every day of the week. So ladies, Lifetime Enclosures.
You ought
today.
To see it. Like, one of them says Tuesday, one of them says Wednesday,
right? But it only says it on the collar.
Yeah, so I thought it was a tag.
Yeah, it's just on the tag. Right. So all right, well, here is today's official Chad and Sandy real estate question of the day today. If the Jacksonville Jaguars could add one more veteran for depth, which position would you most like to see them address? And this is immediately turned into a two-position race. But I will list them alphabetically here the way I did. went with cornerback first, cornerback, not quarterback, as much as you can vote for that in the other category. I know you're out there.
Yeah.
Defensive end, edge rusher, right? But in a 4-3, think backups, more depth for Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker.
If they sign Calais Campbell, I don't think they're signing him as anything but a defensive tackle that could play a little bit of edge for you, potentially. But so he wouldn't traditionally fit that edge category, but he would be
he would count,
to that depth.
Like,
chart.
I don't think, like, I look at defensive tackle and I go, man, they got bodies upon bodies. Now, are they as good at some of those bodies as some of the other positions? We talked about that the other day when we did the Tuesday top five. But regardless, the third position is wide receiver because they did lose Zay. And as the guys were talking about, and we have mentioned, Tony, you got an exciting top trio potentially.
Yes.
And a whole hell of a lot of question marks after that in terms of what they might do at the National Football League level when called, like even Devin Duvernay, if called upon to be more of a primary receiver. And then, you know, what do you want to put that on his plate if he's doing punt and kickoff and all that stuff? And then you can always go with other and just reply with which position you're referencing. But this is a defensive end corner battle right now, and only less than 5% saying that wide receiver is the position they're concerned with the depth the most. So, and again, you may be concerned with it, but it may be number two on your list. It may be number three on your list. Clearly, corner and defensive end right now, both pulling near 45% or greater. So this is a clearly two-position race, but nevertheless, wanted to give you some other options if you wanted to go that way. Saw a very interesting, what I thought was very interesting anyway. I think Jaguar fans will enjoy it. I'll put it that way. So it gives you a little preview what to expect. A draft recap grading every team's draft in the National Football League. A couple of guys over at NFL.com. Not Chad Ryder, who already waited. He said he liked the Jags like sixth or seventh best out of all the classes out there. So where do they fall in the eyes of some of the other NFL.com analysts? I'll tell you this. You're probably going to be encouraged, and you'll hope that they're right about where they slot the Jaguars in compared to the rest of the National Football League. So if you want to get in today, talk any aspect of Jaguar football, including the mayor's office and the team agreeing to the outlines of a stadium remodeling, refurbishing, whatever you want to call it, reconstruction, that's got to go before the city council, and that process begins on Tuesday. We can get into that as well today at 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You can hit us up on social media at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Denmark.
Well, ain't that good in New York?
What? What was that? All right, that caught me right out of the
blue. You didn't see
what
Barkley said last night after the game?
Oh, I flipped over. We flipped over. Give you a nickel if you could tell me what I flipped over to after the game last night. When the game ended, Yankees were already done. Yankees had put theirs away. Knicks game.
Ancient aliens.
Once again, that's a great guess, but that's a Friday, Saturday night show. Okay. That's not on Wednesday nights. That would be a nighttime staple. Mm-hmm. I think it's Cozy TV's Hogan's Heroes.
That's what
my wife prefers from 10 to 11. We get back-to-back episodes of Hogan. So what did Barkley say? Play it again for me.
Y'all ain't that good in New York.
Y'all ain't that good in New York, man.
So y'all think y'all the greatest thing since sliced bread?
You got that right, Chuck. I got as many rings as you do, so why don't you shut the hell up?
Come on, man. Y'all overrated.
Yeah, Charlie's Charlie's just a little upset because he guaranteed the Sixers were going to beat him, and he looked like a damn idiot. You can kill us off one by one, Tony, but you can't take us down collectively right now. We got nobody left, and we're just winning ball games.
Okay, I ain't going to say anything bad about the street meat.
About the street meat? What's wrong with the street meat, man? Delicious options to be found on Broadway. All right, let's get into it. You got your question of the day. Which position do you want to see the Jags address? We're going to look back through NFL.com's eyes at the Jaguars draft haul and continue to talk about this team with rookie minicamp getting underway tomorrow. They'll be on the field tomorrow, so we'll have some tales shortly from how they look. I bet they look tall and fast and strong and
probably
all those kind of things. Yep. All right, this is Jaguars Today. Keep it right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Pella Windows and Doors. The warmer temperatures, oh, yeah, they're already here. You want to keep that oppressive Florida heat outside your house, keep the cool air inside, just like your mom always warned you about. It's time for the peace of mind that only comes from Pella Windows and Doors. Look, I had an issue with my windows, had Pella replace all of them, have had no issues since. They look fantastic. My house feels fantastic. I've got energy savings as well. Visit the Pella of Jacksonville showroom. They're on Phillips Highway, just north of Bay Meadows, or you can always find them online at PellaJax.com.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
See a former Panther receiver. Well, who was he also with? Was Devin Funchess. So he made his pro basketball debut?
No.
What? According to the headline, the first former NFL player to play pro basketball? Can that be right? I mean, it's like in some league, maybe in South America, because it could be over in Europe, but it was a Spanish language broadcast. Saw some highlights. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's okay. You know, he's... Was Funchess like 6'6", something like that?
Yeah, he was a big guy. Yeah,
a pretty big guy. Like on the football field, he looked super tall, right? Really long arms. He just looks like another 6'6 dude out there on the basketball court.
Is a story from Newsweek. Funchess is the first former NFL player to go on and sign a professional basketball contract.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
playing the professional Columbia Basketball League.
Okay. Columbia. So, hey, look, he's getting paid to do what he wants. He said he made his grandfather three promises. Okay? See if you can guess the third. Okay, the first one was win a Super Bowl. He got there, right? Super Bowl 50, he didn't win. Second was to become a professional basketball player.
Oh.
Promises, grandfather, I'm going to do all these things. Win a Super Bowl, that's cool. I'll give him credit. He got there. He is a professional basketball player. What is the third promise he made his grandfather, Pockets?
I mean, the way this is going, I'll probably say something about baseball.
No, it's not. I know. That's the thing. It's impossible to guess is the thing unless you – so has nothing to do with sports. But his career choice after he's done with his playing days, what will he
owning
do?
Owning his business.
Okay, owning a business.
Like, what did his grandfather do?
I have no idea. I'm guessing he didn't win a Super Bowl and play professional basketball, though, so I don't know if that's going to be telling, but he wants to be a farmer.
Oh.
So – it's just kind of an eclectic group of things, right?
That's awesome.
That would be kind of fun, though, right? Yeah. Like, if you make enough money to buy yourself a nice plot of land and do it the right way, I'd love that, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's probably a tough haul, you know? Like, I don't know if Devin Funchess has got that kind of money.
Yeah, as if the other stuff that he put out there for himself was easy.
Right.
Right. Like, none of that is easy.
But you and I could become a farmer.
Yeah, we could.
Right. We may go bankrupt rather quickly, but we could try it.
We could try.
Do it. We don't have the ability to, and I probably might not have the ability to be an effective farmer, but I could probably do it. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Now I will endeavor it about 5 years from now, whenever his Caribbean basketball career winds down or whenever that happens to be, to follow the seed planting exploits on Devin Funchess. So there you have it. All right, let me hop on over to NFL.com here. What is going on in my email right now? All right, NFL.com. We see who it was. Nick Shook was one of the guys over there who and Gennaro Felice. I'm aware of both of their names. They're like don't really know them, but they've been around NFL.com for a little while. Do a lot of draft stuff. So going to go through the classes and how they graded them coming out of this National Football League draft.
Okay.
Who do you feel most people are praising for having one of the best drafts this year?
Chicago.
Chicago for sure.
Arizona.
Right? Arizona's another one. I think even Minnesota in some people's eyes, because I feel like they're getting extra credit because they only had to move up one spot to get J.J. McCarthy, right? Like, and people were saying, oh, man, it's going to take all this, and you're going to have to really mortgage the future of your franchise.
I thought Philadelphia got a lot of love.
Okay. That Philly did here as well. Just curious, like, if there was a consensus out there. I think Chicago, but you better have people like your draft if you have two top 10 picks, right? I mean, come on. Now, then again, I guess you could take somebody in the top 10 that nobody was anticipating going there. Pittsburgh got their top grade.
Okay.
For the NFL draft. Fautanu, my guy. Zach Frazier, another guy a lot of Jaguar fans were interested in. Roman Wilson, a receiver we knew a lot about going into this process. They only had two other picks in the draft, though, Tone. They had Mason McCormick, who was a guard out of South Dakota State in round four. Jags take him. Balky's trying to show he's the smartest guy in the room. Just asking. Just asking because he went to South Dakota State. And then Logan Lee. Actually, they had two six-rounders, Logan Lee and Ryan Watts, defensive end and a defensive back. So anyway, Pittsburgh came in at number one.
Didn't they take a linebacker?
They did take Will. Oh, okay. You know what they did? I see how they stacked it here. They did take Peyton Wilson. That's right.
Okay.
The way they've got it, there's like a column with all the names, and then off to the side, if there was another pick in that round. Kind of hidden. You're right, though. And people do love – see, that's the thing. With these draft grades sometimes, oftentimes, it comes down to preconceived notions and prejudices, right? Like if I rate a guy as the 25th best player, well, may come to find out that the NFL felt he was the 70th best player. But if you take him at 65, I'm going to tell you you got a great value on him. You got a round and a half of value because I rated him that highly.
You're right. Yeah.
You know, and so I think that play, and Peyton Wilson was a guy that did get mocked into the late first round on occasion.
Every now and then.
Right,
yeah.
Really late, but like maybe San Fran, something like that. I'd see him around 31, something like that. All right, so Pittsburgh at number one, Chicago at two, and of course they did Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, but that was the majority there because they really did only have three other picks.
Yeah, those are the headliners.
Right, sure. The Yale offensive tackle, a lot of people like that guy. Took him in round three. Then they took a punter. Imagine having five picks, taking a punter with one of them, and people saying you had the best or the second best or third best draft class.
Right.
So that's a lot of heavily weighted at the top. Number three is the Philadelphia Eagles, as you mentioned, because, again, people are going to say, oh, they might have gotten the best corner in the draft. Maybe they did in Quinion Mitchell. Oh, Cooper DeJean should have been a first-round pick. Maybe. Mm-hmm. He should have been. Maybe teams told you that. It's a little high, whatever, but they did get him ahead of or behind where people expected they'd need to or, you know, probably never thought that they'd get that combo. Jalix Hunt, the pass rusher. A lot of people liked him at Houston Christian University. Will Shipley, the Clemson running back. And then they did take the legacy, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Aeneas Smith, the wide receiver out of Texas A&M. So he was mocked to the Jags in more than one. Took Johnny Wilson in the sixth, and people had him projected ahead. So it's an interesting group. By the way, they've already said Johnny Wilson's a receiver, not a tight end. Mm-hmm. Like you get a guy like that who's 6'6", and everyone starts saying, can he play tight end? You know, Johnny Wilson's not that thick. You know, I don't know who Johnny Wilson is moving in the running game if he's lining up at tight end for the Eagles.
Yeah. Like I get that there was the thought when the Jaguars signed Evan Engram, obviously they're getting a move tight end here. That's what he does. That's all they're going to ask him to do. Well, you know, we've had the opportunity to watch him the last couple years. I don't think he's a great blocker.
Gets after it, though.
Right, but he is very willing, right? Like, whatever you're asking him to do from that perspective, he's willing to put his nose in there and do the work, right? Which is what can keep him on the field for all three downs at any time. In a football game, it's why Engram can play as much as he can play because he doesn't kill you if you have to have him block somebody.
Height and weight for Evan Engram.
6'3", 240.
That's what he's listed at, right? So 6'3", 240. Johnny Wilson is 6'6", 230. Mm-hmm. So 10 less pounds spread out on a much taller frame.
That is.
You know, anyway, that's their concern now, or not their concern, whatever. Philadelphia in at three, right there. The Chargers got the fourth pick. Mm. Joe Alt, the tackle, people loved him. People love Ladd McConkey and Junior Colson, all in this process, right? So those are the – and you look at it again, you know, beyond that, I don't know what they're going to get out of some of these guys.
Yeah.
You know, Brendan Rice was a guy that some people liked at a USC, and they got him in the seventh round. But then you say, some people, who are those people? Obviously not NFL general managers, right? Especially, Tone, in a draft where we were told the last few rounds were really weak. Right? If you went in the seventh this year, probably most years you're an undrafted free agent level player, is my guess. So anyway, that's at five. or at four. Arizona's at five. You mentioned them, and of course they had Marvin Harrison Jr. Also took Darius Robinson out of Missouri, so they had two first-round picks. Max Melton was a corner a lot of people liked. Trey Benson, usually in most people's top three running back list, sometimes higher. So anyway, that they're at five. This is, again, Gennaro Felice and Nick Shook over at NFL.com. The Colts came in at six. Latu Latu, you know, and again, Latu, they got the first defensive player off the board. Okay, but does that mean he was worth more than the 15th pick? I don't know. You know, we all got values thanks to six quarterbacks going, if you picked after those six quarterbacks. But,
sure.
And, yes, he was projected in the top 10 by some. But it was more like, you know, I felt, Tone, it was – more people thought Dallas Turner was a better player, maybe even Jared Verse. And then when they started to get the sense that Atlanta was going to take him in the top 10, you started to hear more of, well, I don't know. And maybe I'm wrong about that. But Adonai Mitchell, on and on we go. So they came in at six there. Get through these a little faster. Raiders at seven. They got Brock Bowers and Jackson Powers Johnson. For some people, the Jags were going to trade all their future picks and just acquire those two, and we'd win. Yeah. Six championships in a row, thanks to that. Let's see, at eight, the New York Giants. Malik Nabers, Tyler Newbin, the safety. I don't know. You know, Andrew Phillips, the corner out of Kentucky. I know, I can't break down his game, but I know people, I saw people projecting him sometimes in the second round. So again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, I suppose. And then finally, I say finally because I'm going to stop here. At number nine, your Jacksonville Jaguars. Got an A-minus with nine picks in the draft. And I will say this is what they wrote about what the Jags did. The Jags nailed their first-round pick, drafting a replacement for the departed Calvin Ridley after trading down. Truly a luxury and a bit of savvy positional navigation to be able to snag your ideal fit in the starting lineup while also adding future picks. Also nice to bolster your defensive line after spending big money on trusted starter Josh Allen, which is exactly what general manager Trent Baalke did with the selections of Mason Smith and Jordan Jefferson, his second and third LSU products taken in this draft. Jarian Jones will fill a similar role in the secondary, and we'll talk about this, as a rotational depth defender. We'll see about that. While Javon Foster can get his feet wet before potentially being asked to man a starting spot in the future. I'm interested to see if Keelan Robinson can push D'Ernest Johnson and Tank Bigsby for a roster spot. I don't think he pushes Tank Bigsby anywhere.
No.
I could even, like, if he does, it's going to be over the course of the summer, right, with D'Ernest Johnson. I could see a world where you want the veteran in case Bigsby has ball security issues again. But I could also see a world where, Tony, I don't want to, even though one's really a return specialist, I don't want to carry four running backs if I don't have to.
No.
In today's NFL. So, they go on to say, if Robinson cracks the 53, it could prove to be a wisely spent fifth-round pick. Well, yeah. If he makes the 53-man roster, I would say that's probably a wise pick. Any fifth-rounder that makes your 53.
Yeah. When we reacted to the draft, the Monday after the draft went down, to me, the Keelan pick is Parker on the roster. Right? Like, it's not.
And that might not even be right.
Right. Like, it might. My question isn't, are they willing to carry four running backs? It's, are they willing to carry somebody who, what they're giving you is just special teams? Right? Like, are they willing to do that? And I would look at it less as carrying a fourth running back as opposed to this is the kick returner.
One of my two returners.
Right. Like, that kind of thing. We know Duvernay is going to be active.
Yeah.
Right? Parker can play some wide receiver for you, and he can punt return for you. I wouldn't like him as much as a kick returner.
I wouldn't either, and that's why I think Parker Washington will probably make this team, right? Especially with Zay Jones gone now. They did invest a pick in him last year. He played okay when given, you know, limited opportunity, and I just don't expect him to be active on game day at this moment as I look at it if everybody's healthy. Because I don't know if his role is big enough in the offense itself.
It was the same thing last year when Kirk was on the roster. They
Parker
couldn't do
Washington.
Anything with
right.
him. Yeah.
And that may be the case once again. And that doesn't mean he doesn't have value to your 53.
No.
You got to have depth and all that. But anyway, just last comments here that they wrote. Could be a wise fifth-round pick there on Robinson. And then finally, Balky also set up a fun kicker battle for training camp, pitting Cam Little against veteran Riley Patterson. Returned to Jacksonville this offseason after spending last year with both Cleveland and Detroit. I'll say this. If you draft a kicker, you better make the team and be your kicker.
Yeah.
Or it's not a fun little battle. It's a waste of a pick. Is what it's what it turns out to be. Now, again, at that point in the draft, I'm not saying there was somebody they absolutely had to have. And as Chad Ryder, when he came on with us from NFL.com, told us, it was a great selection. It was his favorite kicker in the draft was Cam Little. So we'll see. So anyway, that was just, you know, one group's look at the Jags draft. There's been a lot of mediocre, you know, they did okay. They did middle of the pack, whatever. Give them an A-minus and put them in the top 10 at one spot ahead of Cincinnati. You've got a B+. So the Jags were the last one with an A in their grade, according to NFL.com. You may go, they're absolutely out of their mind. But I don't think they're doing it to prop up Trent Baalke. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe their opinion's wrong, but I do think it's their honest opinion that, and I honestly, Tone, I feel like nationally there have been some of these guys that have liked it more than I think locally we're like, all right, we can see why they did it, and we're hoping, because mm-hmm. we don't have that much faith in past drafts beyond the early Baalke picks. And, you know, but maybe we're just a little jaded because we are that close to the situation.
Maybe, yeah.
Could be that. Anyway, it's got to make you feel a little bit better, I hope, and really none of it matters once – everybody hits the practice field and in the games for real. But I'd rather have them like it than not like it, I suppose. All right, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark, if you want to get in, you know the ways to do it here, primarily at 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You can also hit us up in that YouTube chat in the virtual studio, or you've got those social media handles out there as well, AdamD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL. Denmark. All right, we'll come back and continue the discussion, including Trent Baalke maybe getting hung with some decisions that really he shouldn't be blamed for, and we'll describe what we're talking about on the other side. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, I want to get to Pro Football Network did a piece ranking the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't know. I guess, look, you could rank them on track records, and, you know, certainly there are some that, like Howie Roseman, right? It took the number one spot, and people marvel at how he moves around the draft board and does different things. So I get there's some consensus out there. I think there's a big middle class where people have no idea how good the general managers are mm-hmm. on some of these teams. But we'll get to that here in a moment. I just saw this. We were talking about the continued fallout from the Tom Brady roast and some of the stories that are coming out of it. And Julian Edelman was doing a podcast with Drew Bledsoe, and they talked about what it was like before the roast. And they were in the green room just hanging out, and it was Randy Moss and Bledsoe and Edelman and Gronkowski, and we're all just chilling, and Belichick's in there, and he's cutting up. And they, you know, the players will tell you Belichick has a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. He, you know, we know he's an encyclopedia of football.
Yeah, we've had the opportunity to talk to Fred about it plenty of times.
Yes.
Right? Like, having gone up there, and he's like, yeah, it's not what it looks like.
He doesn't always talk like right. this, apparently.
Yeah.
So anyway. We're pre-show, we're hanging out, we're chilling. Bill's opening up. He's having fun. He's talking war stories. He's talking rookies. He's doing poop that we know what Bill's about.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, amplified because he's excited to see guys because he doesn't have a job anymore, right? Yeah. So he's not around them as much. And, oh, okay, I'm here. Hey, remember this? Hey, there's Gronk. Hey, let me just,
yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I'm like, dap up Gronk. I don't know what he's doing in there. And then Robert Kraft walks in. This is Bledsoe and Edelman going back and forth. Bledsoe's like, yep, exactly like that. Then Kraft walks in, and Edelman's like, yeah, the tension in the room could cut bleeping glass. That was so awkward. So that the players got up because here comes Kraft. Here, this guy's enriched you. He is the one who signed. Bottom line, Belichick had a lot of power, but Kraft signed the checks.
Yes.
So he's the one that put the money in your pocket. And
Both of those men are the reason why you were a Patriot.
Very important.
Yeah.
Right? It's super important. So, again, respectfully, hey, coach, love the stories. Oh, here's Mr. Kraft. We're going to go over there and greet him. Kind of did it right as Belichick was in the middle of telling a story. But whatever. You know, Kraft, you know, it's just, it happens, right?
Yeah, it's a party.
Edelman's like, I just walked away. I didn't want to be there. I had to get out of the room. Like, it was so bad. Huh. So, they're like, it's not fake between them. And then we are reminded, Tone, mm-hmm. that ESPN reported that Kraft told Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, that he couldn't trust Belichick.
Yep.
And did that really happen? Did it not happen? You know, there's all kinds of denials and this and that. Belichick didn't get a job offer from the Falcons. I mean, Raheem Mostert, I'm not saying is unqualified to be an NFL head coach, put the resume side by side with Belichick and put anybody's resume up against Belichick, and it's going to lose, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's fair to ask, if you're starting fresh, do you want to bring that hard ass into your organization? I don't know what the answer is. Clearly, nobody was willing to do it this year.
Right.
I think Jerry Jones will absolutely hire Belichick if he gets rid of McCarthy after this year. Now, I don't know if he'll get rid of McCarthy. It's tough to predict what Jerry's going to do. But if they have a disappointing year, for Jerry, he doesn't care about how – he just, you know, it's another splash thing that creates buzz for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. And disappointing from a Dallas standpoint is a relative term, right? Because the expectations in that building every year are they're going to go to a Super Bowl.
They go 10-7, losing a wild card round, boom.
Yeah.
See you later, McCarthy.
Right.
Potentially.
Right. Like, I think they can go 10-7, win a wild card game, and it's still in play.
Maybe so.
Right. That's how unpredictable I think Jerry Jones can be with that kind of stuff, especially when the carrot that's being dangled in front of him is a guy like Belichick. Right? Like, I don't think he'd do it for anybody. I think he might be willing to make that move even with a winning coach for Belichick.
He didn't do it for Dan Quinn.
Right.
Over the years when he seemingly had opportunities to do it.
Yes.
And then ultimately Quinn went on to the Commanders, and that's where he'll
head things up there. Yeah. Well,
right. But, you know, it is apparently very, very real between those guys. And I don't know if Kraft went out of his way to sabotage him or not. It seems if he did, I mean, it's so overly petty. He helped you win 6 titles. And Grant, you know, I'm sorry, Robert Kraft, you did sign the checks, and that's important. And Belichick did answer to you in a sense, but you're not more important. Anybody could have signed the checks. You know, not anybody could have done what Belichick and Brady and those players combined to do.
No.
So,
or else everyone would have been doing it.
Right. I mean, and it was a whole circumstance, and I'm sure Kraft's, you know, willingness, I don't know, to spend money in certain areas, I'm sure he contributed. You know what I mean? But other than signing my checks, and this is the guy who really put us in position to win, but apparently we're not going to see too many friendly reunions between these guys.
I wouldn't imagine so.
As we go along. All right, GM rankings from the folks at ProFootballNetwork.com. Okay. George Patton of the Broncos is the worst general manager in football, okay, according to them. Terry Fontenot of the Atlanta Falcons. How much of this is giving all that money to Cousins and then drafting Penix at 8? Impact? Does that impact this ranking that dramatically?
To some degree it impacts.
Possibly
it,
so.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Falcons have had an interesting 15 months. Became the only NFL team to publicly announce they would not pursue Lamar Jackson. Would go on to win his second MVP award. That was last March. January, failed to hire Bill Belichick. Failed to hire. If you didn't offer the guy a contract, did you fail to hire him? You just chose not to hire him, right?
Yeah.
Like
you failed to go get Lamar Jackson. It's kind of the same thing.
Reportedly,
we didn't go after him.
Right. Reportedly didn't place arguably the league's greatest of all time head coach among their top 3 candidates. Do we know if anyone else did? All right. Anyway, and then use the number 8 pick on Penix despite the thing. So that, you know, just not
not letting go of that one a long time.
By the way, we're entitled to say, hey, you know what? They don't have to sign Belichick. His way may not work anymore, you know, with a fresh group of players. They're certainly entitled to feel that way. Dan Morgan, Carolina Panthers, they say it's probably too early to judge. He's just gotten in the job, basically.
Yep.
Joe Hortiz, the LA Chargers. Let's see. Elliot Wolf of the Patriots. He's not officially the GM, but everyone thinks they're going to hire him, which is why they're having apparently had some trouble getting candidates to interview for the job because they thought they were not going to be taken seriously. Adam Peters of the Washington Commanders. Okay, what are you laughing at?
It's just we talk NFL every day, and I was just imagining listening to someone who doesn't follow it, right, the way that we do, where we, like, some of these.
I have no idea who Adam Peters is.
Right, like, I don't know these people, right? But it makes me laugh because Jaguars fans are so mad at Balke all the time because he's the GM, and they had what happened to him at the end of last season happen to him, so this must be the reason why. Like, it's easy to blame general managers when things aren't going the direction you want them to go with an NFL team, and we've talked about it with other positions, right, around the league. It's like, I don't know who anyone's depth is at guard and center in the NFL, right? Like, I'm not paying all that much attention.
Most don't have it.
Right, to those kinds of things.
Not to where their fan base would be like, oh, yeah, we got this locked down.
Right, but you went through that whole list of names that we've had here with Telesco with the Raiders and Ortiz Fontenot, with the Chargers. Yeah. Right, like all these guys, and I'm like, I couldn't tell you whether or not I think Balke is any better or worse than any of these guys at actually being an NFL GM, right? Like, I don't know.
You'd have to really do some study, put their track record, what have they done? Well, for instance, Adam Peters just got there.
Yeah.
Right? So he's had this offseason is what he's done, and that's what he's based on. So all the first-time GMs have already been listed here, right? So not too many veterans to go before we're going to hit Trent. Unfortunately, Joe Shane of the New York Giants at 25, and then Trent Balke at 24. Now
they're gonna put the Daniel Jones contract there on Shane.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Giants seemed willing to slow play a rebuild when they took over, but having instant success changed their outlook, and then they re-signed Daniel Jones. A fatal mistake that could ultimately cost Shane his job. Especially because the Giants didn't add a quarterback in this year's draft. Of course, if you don't keep him, he played great, right? And you don't know he's going to get hurt, but he played great. He did have a really good year.
Yeah.
And he goes somewhere else, and you're like, okay, well, you know, Joe Shane's not willing to pay what it takes to win in the National Football League. You're almost like, you got to have a guy you feel good paying the full boat to, or you got to just look for the next guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, or, I mean, you can do it for a short term. You can go middle class for a short term deal, a couple of years, like Baker Mayfield, something like that. But you always, even when you sign that, you got to be looking for the next guy. And reports were the Giants were looking to get Drake May this year.
Sure.
Okay, so Balke's at 24. But before we get any further, we got to take a break here. We'll come back. And my issue with it is the reasoning.
Okay.
Behind why he's 24. And again, this is not a specific Trent Balke so great. Look at where he should be a top 10 GM. I don't know where he should rank among the GMs. My point is, I don't know if I should take any of these GM rankings all that seriously. And we'll explain when we come back in a minute. We're about halfway through here today. If you want to get in, the Chad and Sandy Real Estate Jaguars Today question today is out there. If the Jags are going to add one veteran for depth at this point in time. Wow, over 700 votes on this already. And they're going back and forth. Corner, defensive end, wide receiver, or other. What other position? And let us know which one that would be. Which position would you most like to see them address? For a little depth here. We're not saying a starter, although some people said, hey, I'd like to see somebody push Ronald Darby out of the starting position. Right? It's not going to happen at defensive end. So I'm thinking more that, yeah, you might get a starter, but if you're just bringing in a guy that if you have an injury, and needs to play. Where do you think you need that reinforcement? The most corner and defensive end pulling in over 90% of the vote between the two positions. And I don't want to skew it because you can't see what the percentages are before you vote. We'll tell you what they are towards the end of the next hour coming up. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, we continue on here on Jaguars Today, getting into hour number two. We're going to look at the breakdown from Pro Football Network on why Trent Balke comes in basically right at the tail end of the third quarter of GMs, according to them. And by the way, I'm not saying he should be a number seven. I'm not saying he should be number 17. I really don't know, but I just want to see if the critique is fair, is all. Pockets, I'm reminded that yesterday was a pretty big day for the Baldwin football team.
Yeah,
right?
Coach Campo came by, gave the boys some wisdom, talking about some championship teams and pedigree and what they did.
You hooked them up, man. I mean, how many local area high school teams get a Super Bowl coach?
I guess not many.
You know?
You know, probably less than 10 teams around here. There's a lot of teams around here.
So now, were they on the edge of their seat? Were they kind of, you know, was there a tune-out factor? Who's this Campo fellow?
Yeah. They were all engaged, gave their eyes to him the whole time. They weren't playing around and, you know, picking flowers in the grass. They were paying attention the whole time.
Okay. All right. Any good stories from Coach?
He told a story about, you know, he's talking about, you know, teamwork and iron sharpens iron. He told a story about Emmitt Smith and when he dislocated his shoulder last week of the season when they played the Giants. And he was like, you know, nowadays you have a dislocated shoulder, you're out for 3 to 4 weeks. But back then, you know, you do some stuff behind the sideline and you go back out there. And the coach told him, he goes, hey, Emmitt, when you go in there in overtime, you know, we need this game for home field. He said, just be a decoy. He goes in overtime. He gets 8 straight carries.
8 straight carries.
And they win the game.
We would have given you 9, Emmitt, but, you know, we didn't want to overtax you at that point in time.
Yeah, the coaches were laughing behind him. The kids don't know.
Of course, you know, I'm sure someone once came and probably visited like a Dallas Cowboy rookie minicamp and told a story about how that time, yeah, I had my femur sticking out through my thigh and I slapped it back in there and threw a little tape on that bad boy when I played the next 3 quarters, Tony, and I had to have my leg amputated after that, but it was worth it.
Yeah, back in the day when that Toradol was available on the sideline.
I was drinking it straight. Yeah. But it is funny, right? Because, like, Coach – so what was his point to the story? Was he just saying how times have changed, or was he
More about teamwork and knowing your role and knowing what it takes for, you know, the guy next to you and things like that.
All right, just do whatever it takes to be available.
To be a winner.
All right. He didn't drop any gems like in my day we drank from the garden hose.
No.
Okay.
He was good, man. He was really good.
Because we did drink from the garden hose. Don't get it twisted.
I did, too.
We absolutely drank from the garden hose. Absolutely. Man.
Kids don't do that now.
There was a picture somebody
– you went back in the house. You were in the house the rest of the day.
That's it. Well established.
Yeah.
You open that door one more time, you're staying in.
Yeah.
I've had that one.
So
you know what that resulted in because I told you that story.
I have.
And I don't know. I probably told the story on the air, but I'm not going to tell it right now. All right? Because lunch is coming. and you don't want to know.
Yeah.
But what was it that – you know the account Super 70s Sports on Twitter or
Love
X?
That account.
It's a great one, right? So they had the picture – they retweeted yesterday or tweeted out yesterday of the two kids clearly like in the late 70s because they got the tube socks pulled up to their knees with the big stripes on them. One kid's got a rifle. And these kids like 10 and 8 maybe, something like that. I don't know. One kid's got a rifle. The other kid has, I think somebody said it was a frog gig. It's like a pole that you use to grab frogs. But he was holding a rattlesnake in it that they had caught and shot. And it was like basically like yeah, this is us in the 70s. Like, you know, go out, shoot a snake, poke at its body for a while, go jump your BMX bike over the trash pile that you lit on fire, come home for lunch, go back out, collect soda bottles all day to buy some baseball cards. Your mom starts yelling at you to get in because it's getting dark, and you get in 2 minutes after it's dark, and your dad whips your butt, telling you should have got home earlier, whatever. And it's like classic case like of the 70s. And somebody in the replies was like, man, back in the 70s, it was a girl, she goes, we lived on two things, Hostess fruit pies and hose water. That was it. I mean, it's right. Hostess fruit pies were amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They still are,
yeah.
By the way.
They're great.
You know, can't be – They don't fit well on the Awake 180 plan. I'll just say that.
I would imagine they don't.
But a damn Hostess fruit pie, Tony, if it's cold, the lemon, come on, brother. Maybe a top 10 snack, like a lunchbox snack of all time. Mm-hmm. That's too nice. Like when I was a kid, that was too nice to be in the lunchbox. Yeah, that was like a treat. That was like summer You went to the beach and your mom's like, all right, you can get one thing at this thing. And, well, can I get a fruit pie?
Yeah, like, I can remember there was a Gate gas station at the front of the neighborhood where I would get dropped off in high school, right, when I was riding the bus. And so if I was on my way home, like when I got home, I'd go grab something from the Gate, right, on my way home. And it'd be something like that. It'd be some kind of sweet snack because I knew, like, this is special. I'm not going to have that in lunch. Like,
I will get this. I will eat this if I have to suck it down in 1 minute flat so my mom doesn't know. I'm ready for dinner. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I probably told this story before, but we're on the kid. I used on the beach when I was a kid. We lived two blocks from the beach. I lived closer to the beach in Connecticut than I ever have in Florida. But we're two blocks from the beach. And probably the first time I ever had a golf ball in my hand in my life, I found one on the beach, right? And the beaches up there are not like they are down here, not driving on the beach, right? It's a rocky coastline, and you walk in between the rocks, and there's little sand patches and whatever. So we're walking down the beach. I got this golf ball, and I drop it, and I'm in like knee-deep water pockets, but it's pretty clear, right? It's pretty calm there. It's like Long Island Sound. It's not the ocean. And it falls right on a $20 bill. Fell right on the face on the 20. It's like sitting there. I'm like, and I pull it up and I'm like, I found a 20. You know, I'm a kid. I'm like 7 years old. I found a $20 bill. It's the most money I've ever had in my hand in one time ever. I've got a $20 bill. This guy, this kid, is on the beach. He's the only other person on the beach. He goes, you did what? He comes running into the water, fully dressed. He's got pants on. He's got jeans on. And he dives in the water. And he comes up with $50. I'm not kidding. Right? Comes up with $50. Mm-hmm. And then comes, like he's screaming his head off, runs out of the water, goes running down the beach like he's going to go tell mom. Should have stuck around. Right? Because somebody clearly dropped a wallet or something. Right? Yeah. And there's like cash floating in the water.
Oh.
Right? So we ended up, he found 50. I found the original 20. We found another 70. Right? So there's like the classic little beach hut convenience store that you go to. Mm-hmm. Name of it, Tony's, of course. And we go there. My grandmother walked with her head down. She'd find a penny every 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. I swear to you. Oh, there's a penny. Great, Grandma. That's fantastic. Found $10 in the parking lot, right? So like, what is going on? Never forget, to this day, got me a Lemon Hostess fruit pie. My mom's like, you can buy one thing, anything you like, mm-hmm. Tony's. Lemon Hostess fruit pie.
There you go.
And I had a Steve. Back then, they had a baseball card in the package pockets. And I got a Steve Braun Mariners card. I think it was 76 is what it was. So had that for years. It was greasy, all fruit pie stained. And I think I eventually tossed it. But yeah, fruit pies. All right. Sorry for the departure right there. Went down memory lane. All right, here we go. GM rankings. Trent Baalke at 24, according to ProFootballNetwork.com. It's like their top story, the GM rankings, okay? Difficult to give Trent Baalke too much credit for selecting Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick in the 2021 draft. Is that fair? I mean, I get it. He was the clear consensus pick.
It's fair enough that any GM would have made the same decision.
Probably.
So I don't overly weigh it when I'm trying to decide whether or not I think Baalke is good or bad as a GM.
Okay, did we have pundits try to tell us that Trevor was not the best quarterback in that draft?
Chris Sims.
Okay, nobody else suggested maybe Justin Fields the best quarterback in the draft?
I mean, there were some whispers of that.
All right, but anyway, you're not going to give him credit for pick he made. Okay, and I think a lot of people locally say the same thing, at least the Baalke detractor. Well, he doesn't get any credit for picking Trevor. Anybody would have picked Trevor. All right, but he did pick him, and all the other quarterbacks in the first round busted. Because they're not with their teams, right? So, anyway, since taking over the Jags GM midway through 2020, he's overinvested in positions like linebacker and tight end, taking Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson in 2020 also looks like an error. Did they edit this right here? Tony, I read this to you this morning, right? And they talked about how some of his picks are already busts, like C.J. Henderson and Kalyvon Chaisson. Problem with that, Baalke wasn't the GM. Yeah. Those picks were made. I literally read this morning. I think they have edited it since then to justify their ranking in a different way. Because this stuff about Trayvon wasn't in here this morning. So I just look now, and I think somebody must have made a comment to them about, I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? But, like, so we're going to rank him here based on the fact that he drafted these busts. Oh, well, he didn't draft them. Surely his ranking might rise. Well, no, we're going to leave him here, and we're going to justify it some other way.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's better than the other 23 guys ahead of him. I don't know. But understand when people weigh in nationally on what's happening to your team locally, they often don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to critique Balky, sorry, he was here. I don't know how much influence he had, but if we're going to sit here and not give Trent Baalke credit for actually taking Trevor Lawrence, I'm damn sure not going to give him blame when he wasn't the GM, even if he was working for the Jaguar organization.
For sure.
When, it went down the way it did with Dave Caldwell. So, anyway, and yeah, a lot of people taking Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson looks like an error to some. Trayvon came on. And I know there are a lot of Jaguar fans because I heard it from them. Oh, you wait now. You know, Aiden got off to the hotter start, but Trayvon's going to overtake him. Maybe.
Maybe.
But he's got some catching up to do to get to where Aiden Hutchinson has been the first 2 years of his career, at least in my point of view. Again, I think Trayvon's a really good player and may turn out to be the better one. But I don't think it's unfair to say right now it's questionable if he took the right guy considering they played the same position.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you hear the story yesterday they came out, Terrion Arnold claims that the Raiders told him that it came down to a coin flip. They're going to either take Bowers or Arnold, and they literally flipped a coin, and it came up whatever side Bowers was, heads or tails, whatever it was for Bowers. And then they asked somebody with the Raiders, and he said, well, I can't confirm that. Does that mean you're not denying it?
That's certainly not a denial.
Right? Like, if it didn't happen, then it didn't happen. Imagine if a story got out that Trent Baalke flipped a coin between Brian Thomas and Terrion Arnold with the 23rd pick in the draft, if it went down like that.
Yeah.
The ridicule and the scorn that would be heaped upon that guy.
And I think when you look at the Aiden versus Trayvon thing, and look, we knew when they made the pick, it's the guy's going to be compared to his whole career. It was the guy that everyone thought they could take at number one, which was Aiden Hutchinson. You look at, Trayvon had a really good year number two, 10 sacks. You look at that quarterback hits number, which was 19, right, for him last year. Josh Allen had 17 and a half sacks, 33 quarterback hits last season. I bring that up because Aiden Hutchinson had 11 and a half sacks, 33 quarterback hits last year. He was getting to the quarterback as much as Josh Allen was last season in Detroit. That's the kind of year that Aiden Hutchinson was
just
having.
Just didn't have the sack.
Just total. The sack total wasn't the same. And he's got four interceptions in his first 2 years on top of that. And Trayvon had the one of his rookie year, and it was a spectacular play.
Absolutely.
I think we saw a big step forward from Trayvon Walker in year two to close a gap that looked like it could have been pretty wide after 1 year between the two of them. Aiden was a Pro Bowl, borderline All-Pro kind of player last year in year two of his career.
When did he end up in the NFL 100 this year? Wasn't he like top 30?
Something like that.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Or in somebody's top one. It might have been not have been the NFL 100.
But did make a Pro Bowl this year up there in Detroit. 11 and a half sacks. Obviously had a really good year. I think the gap got closed between the two of them.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Because of the year Trayvon had. But Aiden Hutchinson looks like he's going to be a premier pass rusher in the league. Like, that's what he looks like to me. And I think Trayvon's got all the tools to become that kind of guy, but I don't think he's quite there yet.
Okay, this one, I just Googled Aiden Hutchinson top 100, and it came up some list here on the top 100 players of 2023, number 88, Aiden Hutchinson. But this is featured like at DetroitLions.com, but it doesn't say who did the ranking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the ranking of Detroit Lions players, obviously, right?
No, yeah.
Because there aren't that many on there. But anyway. Look, I hope that Trayvon Walker turns out to be, you know, for the next 10 years, the dominant pass rush force in the National Football League. That would be fantastic. Rooting for nothing but that. We'll see if it comes out. But it is fascinating to me that they seem to have edited this and not even tweaked the rankings or acknowledge the fact that they changed it. Because I couldn't, when I found it, I'm like, Tony, listen to this.
Yeah.
What's the problem with this scenario?
That's crazy.
He wasn't the guy making the picks. If you're going to rip him for picks that he didn't make, I'm going to question the rest. I don't know what other mistakes you've made because I'm not going to go with a fine-tooth comb and try to figure it out. But either way, nobody's saying Trent's in the top half of the league. I just want the Jags to be in the top one of the league. But, you know, let's get us back in the playoffs and calm things down and make a run this year, and we'll see how it goes. All right, we'll check in. Over 800 votes in today's question of the day. Let's start to debate this, Tone, because I think it merits a little bit of time to discuss here. If the Jags could add one more veteran for depth, which position would you most like to see them address? Cornerback, defensive end, wide receiver, or something else? Let us know your thoughts on that on social media, @MD_1010XL or at 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Hey, Pockets did the research for me, Tone. That $100 that we found at the beach, it was 77 because Steve Braun, I found the card, 77 Steve Braun Seattle Mariner baseball card. He was with the Twins prior to that, so it had to be 77. $100 and 77 is worth between 515 and 527 now.
Whew.
So imagine, like, it doesn't sound like much. Oh, you found $100. But if you're walking just in the shallow water right now, like in a little tide pool, and there were $25, $20 bills floating around in there, and you pluck those out,
yeah,
that'd be a hell of a day.
That would.
A hell of a day at sea is what it was back in the day.
Finding a $20 bill would have been equivalent to $100 back then.
$100. Yeah. You like find a $100 bill. Yeah. And as a kid,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, like, I don't know what kind of allowances kids get these days or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When I got it, like, I think I might have got like $10 a month, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. When I got it, and then it would be like, you know, don't ask my dad, because if you asked him, even though, you know, you set up an expectation, Dad, when you've given me an allowance the last 3 months. So when I don't get it in the fourth month, am I getting an allowance? You greedy. Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, the 70s. Gotta love the 70s. All right.
With you.
Anyway, all right, Tone, let's look at this question today. First, I want to look at what people are saying who are voting other. 4% of people are going other on what positions they think the Jags need to address here. Offensive inside linemen. I don't think they're going to add anything on the offensive line at this point. Now, again, this is a question of what you think they need to add, not what you expect them to add. But I feel like they feel like – I feel like they feel like they have a lot of options at in the position group. Now, they may turn out to be bad options. You know, and I know a lot of people – there's still people out there that think they've done nothing to change the offensive line this offseason. Well, they – that's clearly not true.
No.
Have they done enough? I don't know. And part of what they're counting on is either A, improvement, or B, a return to health from certain guys, right? And in the case, Anton Harrison should be getting better. The left side of the line, Ezra Cleveland, Cam Robinson, banged up last year, need them to be healthier. New player at center. And, yeah, we're going to run it back with the right guard. And with, we hope, the heir apparent training behind him in Cooper Hodges.
Yeah, looking at the list of those interior linemen that if they were going to add one, who would it be, right? And if you're looking for someone that's going to come in and start, I mean, there's just not a whole lot out there. That is a big improvement over what you have on the roster.
Well, you're going to have Shatley on this team,
yeah,
right? You're going to have Walker Little on this team.
Yeah.
You're certainly going to have Javon Foster on this team.
Dalton Risner, Phil Haynes, Greg Van Roten, Justin Pugh. These are all guys that belong on an NFL roster somewhere. And look, if you're good enough to be a backup offensive guard in the league, odds are you're good enough to start, right? If you needed to start, you could do that. But I don't think there's anything out there that you bring him in. And it's like, that's where the impact's coming on the interior of our line. They've already made those moves. They're not going to improve it all that much.
What did they carry last year? 8?
I think it was 8. Yeah.
Who else is going to make this team? When you look at the depth options. If we presume that the starting five is what we've been talking about for a while now, this offseason, Walker Little's going to be here, right? He's your primary swing tackle.
Yes.
I would think, right? I heard Helmets and Heels talking about this yesterday, comparing what this year's offensive line is compared to what they think next year's is likely to be. And at least one of them, I can't remember which one, said that they thought they'd tag Walker Little for a year and he'd be the left tackle. I think it's within the realm of possibilities, because you tag Cam, that'd be like the third tag, and the price gets astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
So Walker Little you'd expect to be on this team. Tyler Shatley they just brought back, and they like his versatility, right? Javon Foster certainly on this football team.
Yeah.
Is Luke Fortner? Does Luke Fortner go from an every-game starter for 2 years to not on the roster? I don't know.
I doubt it.
I doubt it too, right? But yeah. Then what about Blake Hance, who, granted, you have good depth at tackle now, but Hance has the flexibility to basically play anywhere on the line. You know, he gives you – he backs up a number of positions at the same time. Then you got Cooper Hodges. He's going to be on this team.
Yeah.
Right? Who are the – all right. Foster's a lock. Just drafted him. Mortal lock. Right? With an eye on him being a future starter at some spot. By the way, good piece on him over at Jaguars.com.
Yeah.
On, you know, talking to his coach in college and how he's his drive, his work ethic, but how what a great athlete he is on top of that, and the versatility that he can play either tackle, and he thinks he can play inside as well if you need the help. So he can, at least for this year, potentially back up a lot of spots. So Foster for sure. Hodges to me for sure, because he may be your cheap replacement for Sheriff. Little for sure, right? For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played a lot of football. He's your next man up
and
at tackle.
He showed you he can play guard if you need him.
Can play guard in a pinch. He's on a rookie deal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Foster for sure. Hodges for sure. Little for sure. Shatley, for sure. I don't know what the structure of his deal is. Could that be a placeholder? Like, hey, let's see how it all works out. And, you know?
Well, then you're talking about Shatley or Fortner.
That's the point we're already at, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to keep 10, I don't think.
I wouldn't think.
So if you keep one of Fortner or Shatley, you're at 9. That's keeping one of those guys. That's not keeping Blake Hance. You know, and I understand there's some other guy like Cole Van Lannen has been, but I could see them not keeping Blake Hance. Absolutely, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do know they like his versatility, but you have a lot of options right now. If Foster really can kick inside and play a little guard in a pinch, you got to have one. Who is your backup? If you don't have Fortner or Shatley, who's your backup center? If you didn't have Shatley, Fortner, or Hance, you don't really have a backup center.
I mean, is Darrell Williams?
But
that feels like a guy you could probably get to your practice squad.
To your practice squad.
Right.
Right, but that on the 53.
No, I don't.
I don't see another guy other than one of those two. So, and I understand. Look, we're asking you where you think they need the depth, and you probably just say, hey, look, we might bring a guy in who's an upgrade over some of these guys. And maybe they can.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's right already a numbers game at the offensive line group. Just based on what's already on this roster right now,
yeah,
some familiar name is probably getting cut.
Like, it does feel like, from the perspective of this conversation, Fortner's going to have to show that he's something besides just a center.
Could be.
Right? Like, that's what that feels like to me. It's like, can you help us at guard if we need you to?
Are you physical enough to do that?
Right. Which is an open question given the way things went last year, especially. Right, like the physical stuff is where the big questions came in for Fortner, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if that's the question he has to answer in the affirmative if he's going to be on the 53.
Is it a good third round pick if the guy starts for you for 2 years and then you let him go? I don't know if it is.
Good's a little strong.
It's all right. Put it this way.
Yeah.
If Chad Muma is on the team this year, he's not a better pick than Fortner, right? I mean, just because you're on the team for 3 years doesn't mean you're better than a guy. It's a better investment than the guy who actually started for you for 2 years. You could say, well, he's a terrible starter. Well, he did start on a playoff team.
He did.
And they were 18-16 in the 2 years where Fortner started. I'm not saying he's great, and we all are happy that they got Mitch Morse. But, you know, I don't know. 2 years of start, that's like, if all he ever was a backup lineman and we didn't know that he wasn't maybe starting caliber, but he played out like 7 years. Like if you had the career of Shatley where you plug him in here from time to time, but he's never a starting level guy.
Yeah.
Is that better than getting a guy who did start for you for two full seasons? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's close.
Because you got to move on, right? If you move on. And, man, that's going to be fascinating to see. Does he go from full-time guy, center of the future, to somebody else's kick-the-tires backup lineman?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's come back. We'll go around the league when we do. And then we'll look at today's poll question. We'll weigh in on where we think the Jags could use the most depth, a little extra resource coming their way here. Corner, defensive end, wide receiver, or is it something else out there? We'll dig into that when we wrap up Jaguars Today on the other side on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, coming down the stretch here on Jaguars Today, let's get to today's question of the day. In a moment, Tony is going to keep us apprised of what is going on around the rest of the National Football League.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Former Jaguars wide receiver Zay Jones is visiting with the Kansas City Chiefs today. He had a visit with the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. The Cowboys have released wide receiver Martavis Bryant. Former Jaguars wide receiver Allen Robinson signing with the New York Giants. Miami officially signed Odell Beckham Jr. to a one-year, $8.25 million deal that was announced on Friday but officially signed yesterday. Denver has released quarterback Ben DiNucci, and New Orleans has cut quarterback Kellen Mond.
All right, thank you, Tone. Christopher on X or Twitter here in reply to today's question of the day. I'd like to see an outside linebacker to give us flexibility to switch to a 4-3. I think they feel like they've got the flexibility already, right, with the options that they have. We don't know who it's going to be, but that they have several different combinations, I'm guessing. You know, I'm sure they have like a pecking order of like, this is what we envision it being. And then you get in and see, you know, can this guy step up to a larger role? Who's going to fill that? And knowing that you're even in a 4-3, you're not going to play three linebackers all that much.
No.
Anymore. 4-2-5, a lot more of that. So anyway, Dylan, what spot would you like to add a veteran depth for?
I dropped my phone in there? And the pin just like flew.
What happened? It's like, oh man, like Dylan was dozing in class, and I just called him out, and he quickly wiped the drool and settled his desk in one motion. Which position would you like the Jags
17
address like, for I depth? No,
I don't know what. I always go line of scrimmage.
C. C.
Yeah,
C. Multiple choice.
I'd go defensive line. You can never have enough defensive linemen.
So edge specifically or tackle?
I'd go tackle.
Really? Interesting. I think they got numbers at tackle.
I do too.
Like, I don't have a problem if you found a guy. I just don't know. It's going to be hard enough for them to get all their defensive tackles that they have currently on the roster on the field this year. And again, that doesn't mean you can't upgrade over what you have. But
I think I would vote edge.
I would too.
And I would vote edge in the conversation between edge and defensive tackle specifically because I think it's way easier to upgrade Trevis Gibson or Yasir Abdullah with the options that are available than it is Devon Hamilton or Mason Smith. And those are the guys that represent your depth.
And to me, it's not even about the quality of those players, Tony. It's about the position. It seems like every year there are a handful of veteran edge rushers that get signed. Sometimes they don't get signed until August. And they come in. And if all you're asking that guy to do is go hunt quarterbacks on third down, there's two, three, four, five of them every year that are effective.
Yeah, if they were to sign one of those guys that can still do that for you, that I think that would be a big addition for this team.
And this is depth, all right, because he's not a starter, but that guy's going to play, you know, potentially. Could they find a guy right now who's a better pass rush option? Now, maybe in their mind, no, but amongst us here talking, than Trevis Gibson is. I'd say Yannick Ngakoue is a better pass rush option.
Yeah, the edge options that are still available in free agency, Yannick Ngakoue, Emmanuel Ogba, Carl Lawson, Jerry Hughes, Charles Harris, Bud Dupree, let's see, Marcus Golden, Shaq Lawson. These are all guys that it's not that you're getting a lot of pop, you know, from those guys, but I think there were three or four names in there that if they signed any of them and said, you're our third guy, okay.
Man, we could have got Clowney in the building last year. The season he ended up having. Yeah. Like, and I wasn't, it wasn't, Clowney wasn't necessarily at the top of my list because he's never been that monster sack number guy.
Mm-hmm.
But last year had maybe, was it his best season? I think he might have had his career high with like nine.
And I do think, you know, going back to what Pocket said there, I think adding a guy like Calais Campbell, you would feel like you're adding more of a defensive tackle at this point in his career.
Well, that's going to impact both.
Right, but he is, in my head, he's the edge guy. Like, that's the third guy is kind of that kind of thing that I think he can have a major impact on that for the football team if they were to bring him, because his flexibility is crazy, right? And what you can ask him to do.
Anybody knows if you want. He's just that good, I think. I mean, that's like, he's more of a, it would be a waste to use him as a nose. But if you needed him to do it, I think he could do just about anything you ask him to do. Even at this age. Now, maybe not on a 50-plus snap basis, right? Ryan Nielsen should know pretty well. A corner too, like, it's interesting. Hayes Carline yesterday saying he thinks Jarian Jones ends up starting on the outside this year.
That'd be,
he might be right about that. Then the question becomes, is Savage really your nickel? What, you know, does Antonio Johnson play some there? Like, what do they use, like, a three safety set and one of them is technically the nickel? At least he's guarding slot receivers.
They've done a lot of that the last couple of years anyway.
Right.
Yeah, where they've had three safeties on the field.
So it could be something like that. Or it could be that, you know, maybe it's a case where you've got two pure corners on the field, like in a base. Maybe Jarian Jones is on the field. And then he slides to the slot as you go to nickel and dime packages, and Ronald Darby's an outside guy. That makes sense to me, too.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And as somebody said, and I don't have it right in front of me, but somebody said, you know, a lot of the media and the local folks don't give credit to the corner depth. Some of the guys that are on this roster that they think the Jags really like, that may be the case. I mean, Monteric Brown had his moments last year. They did draft DeAndre Prince, so they have another young piece there. They have more intriguing options. I don't know if they're any good. And I'm not saying they have proven options there, but I feel like they have more bodies that intrigue me. Now, you need bodies there because oftentimes you're playing with three at the same time, and you're doing that a lot more than you're playing with another edge guy on the field. But it is like that. And you know, the thing with corner, too, there are some big-name guys out there, and we've talked about a few of them, but that level player, I don't know if he's willing to come in and quote, compete with Jarian Jones and Ronald Darby. You know, if you're an Xavier Howard, do you want to be given, like, you're at least 1 foot in the starting position as soon as you sign?
Howard, Gilmore, Peterson, I think, would fit that bill.
That's the – right. And those are good players now.
They are.
And they're – I mean, Jan's – I wouldn't say Jan is on their level, but he is – I mean, he's an eight-sack guy every year.
Yeah. And you could understand why whatever teams are going to be talking to Jan, it's why he wound up signing in Chicago last year. So that he's there saying, yeah, you can start for us. It's talking to Jackson, well, you're not going to start here.
No.
Right? Like, that's not going to be the role that we're talking to you about here in Jacksonville, but there may be teams that are still going to be looking at Yannick Ngakoue to come in and be one of their starting edge players going into next season, which would be potentially a better spot for him. But at corner, Xavier Howard, Gilmore, Peterson, I would think those guys, they want to start.
Want a starting job.
Right?
Yeah.
And if that's not the job that's going to be open for them, I'm not saying they couldn't win an open competition with the guys we're talking about here.
But are they willing to even enter one?
Right. And it does feel like they would have to be going to whatever that next level is. I don't know what Adoree Jackson's looking for, you know, at this point in his career. Trey Herndon is still out there. And honestly, when you're looking at the list of available corners, he's on most of these lists, he's like fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
You know, like, Trey's a solid player.
Right. So if you're not going big name hunting
right
here, you know, I would think with as much knowledge I have about Trey Herndon, like maybe in the – and it's a different defense, different coordinator. But, I mean, Doug Peterson's well aware of what he's capable of. Trent Baalke's well aware of what he's capable of. That he might already be on this roster. He might be on one of those, you know, might be like a watch list kind of guy. Like, we know if we have issues, as long as he's out there, Trey can come fit in this locker room, fit in this culture. Here are the strengths and weaknesses. Does it match up with what Ryan Nielsen's going to be asking him to do specifically compared to Mike Caldwell? Jags at corner right now. If you assume Darby is a starter on the outside, you got Tyson and Darby. You've got Jarian Jones and Savage at the nickel, however that's going to play. I think Jones is starting somewhere, so I'm going to say Jarian Jones ahead of Savage. You got Monteric Brown. You got DeAndre Prince. You got Christian Braswell and Tavon Campbell are your other corners. Eric Howitt, no, he's a safety. That's basically what you have for the Jags. I'm not saying they can't, there's not potential to upgrade the back end there, but if you're just looking to upgrade your depth, again, it comes down to a cost thing. These guys are cheap. Are we looking to pay $8 to $10 million to a corner and eat up that cap space? Certainly not if he's not going to be starting.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the poll has come out today, Pockets would have voted for other because he wants to go defensive tackle. Let's see here if I've got this. The cornerback was winning the poll, 48.7%. We're at almost 1,000 votes, which is a lot of votes by the end of the show to have. And this will be out there. You only can vote one time. And if you haven't, it's at MD_1010XL on X or Twitter. Early on, defensive end was leading this by about 10 percentage points, but it's 48.7 for corner, 42.5 for defensive end. And those are clearly the spots. And I don't think, you know, wide receiver's an interesting one because there's a lot of unproven guys there. There's some interesting ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a column about undrafted free agents most likely to make 53-man rosters, and they think Joshua Cephas is going to compete to be the fourth receiver for the Jags right away. Maybe he is. You
maybe.
Know, then again, we've gotten excited in the past about some of these guys that, for whatever reason, with Kevin Austin, just a couple of years ago, oh, my God, Kevin Austin.
Mm-hmm.
How did he fall? He's a steal. He's a beast. He, and every once in a while, he'd flash in practice, and then nothing, you know? It happens that way sometimes. So I wouldn't count on that happening.
No.
But I do think they've got – look, it's good to have intriguing guys and developmental guys – that are cheap labor for the foreseeable future, and all that's wonderful. But again, Zay would be on that 90-man roster for both of us at the moment.
Yeah, and I think Cephas is interesting with the rookie minicamp happening this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a guy like that, undrafted free agent, to really create the opportunity to make the 53, that starts this week, right? Like, that starts with, even against the other rookies, when you're out there on the field,
I would hope you stand out.
Right. Like, you have to be the guy that everyone's walking away from and going, oh, yeah, we got to keep an eye on this. You know, whatever this is. And then when everybody's on the field together, that can't change. Right. When everyone's out there, it's like, we just can't shake this guy. Right. For whatever, we can't keep our eyes off this guy and what he's doing for us. But that starts for a
guy
like
Cephas. You got to, right. The buzz needs to start early.
Right.
An undrafted free agent.
So it's an important weekend, it would feel like, from that perspective, for a guy like Cephas.
When you hear last year the Puka Nacua story, right?
We
had
him
in camp. As soon as we put pads on,
then
we realized, oh my goodness, this guy is not just good. He's way better. I mean, he's amazing, and he's got the skill. We need to start, like, we don't need to go, Cephas was out there and he looks like a good athlete. No, pop right away. Yeah. Now, look, if Jarvis Landry somehow makes his team, and I'm highly skeptical.
I am too.
Okay? Highly skeptical. He's never a super explosive guy anyway in terms of yards per catch. Good veteran guy. He, if you like that dog mentality, I think Jarvis Landry's got that.
Yeah.
Okay? He is that guy. But so if he ends up, surprisingly, and I say surprisingly, you take a couple of years off at this stage, I feel like it's going to be tough because he was not Calvin Ridley. He was a good player.
Good player.
He was a super volume receiver. Made some Pro Bowls early on.
He did.
I don't think he was as good as Calvin Ridley. I don't think most general managers will tell you and he was as good as Calvin Ridley. If you could have had either one at their best. But if he makes this team and he signs here for $3 million plus incentives, it's certainly much cheaper than Zay would have been.
Yeah, for Cephas, this is the beginning of, you know, what we all saw happen with a guy like Allen Hurns. Right, he walked in, and from that first rookie minicamp, we were like, this guy, like, this is different.
Yes.
Right, then everyone else that is on the field doing this, now he's going to be out there with a first-round draft pick, a wide receiver, right, in this particular group of rookies. But still, you got to be running with that guy.
Yeah, I got to hope that he doesn't look like the best receiver on the field.
Right, like not the best receiver on the field this weekend, but one of the guys that you're like, whoa, what do we have
here? Did we find a gem?
Yeah.
We'll talk about more tomorrow, who are some of the rookies we're hoping to hear a little bit of buzz about, you know, in terms of, you know, who might make a run at helping this team this year, earning a starting spot, earning a spot in the rotation, just earning a spot on the 53, and then earning a spot on the practice squad, which for some of these guys, like Steven Jones out of Oregon, man, that's another intrigue, get a lot of GMs fired, all right? But for now, I want to see what happens after 1 year of him being on the roster. He played some pretty damn good football, and a lot of people projected him to get drafted maybe in the fourth or fifth round. He could be a piece that could fit into the mix a year from now. Corner at 48.8, defensive end 42.5, 4.8 saying wide receiver, and other coming in at 3.9%, 972 votes since the start of the program. If the Jags could add one more veteran for depth, which position would you most like to see them address? There you have it right now. You're saying corner and defensive end, clearly with red ink circled around both of them. That's going to do it for us today. Please do stick around for the ladies of Helmets and Heels. XL Primetime and the Frangie Show will follow there. Tom McManus will join us in studio tomorrow as we wrap up the week. We appreciate all of you out there in listener land. For Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today returns tomorrow from 10 to noon, once again here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.